Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Today I shall be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And you shall find it in the Pew Bible in pages 1198. I'm reading from the NIV. It's entitled, The Coming of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest, who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much, Elaine. Shall we just pray? Dear Lord, as we look through this amazing passage, Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts, that we would hear from you and hear of the amazing and certain hope that we have in you and through you. Amen. I wonder whether you manage to get to the cinemas these days. It's maybe less common than it used to be, but you may be aware this weekend is a very big weekend. We've got lots of films out. If you go down to the Croydon, you can watch Wicked. It's meant to be very popular. There's Moana 2, and there's still Paddington in Peru, and also Gladiator 2. There you go. Ooh. It's meant to be a very big weekend. I have to admit, personally, it's something for everyone, if you like blockbusters. I don't really get to the cinema as often as I used to, but I quite fancy seeing the new Gladiator film. Obviously, that's a sequel to the one released 20 years ago, big Oscar-winning blockbuster. And a hands up, anyone who saw Gladiator when it was out? Oh, there's a few. Good. I have a confession. I managed to see it 4 times in the cinema. There you go. And... But for those of you who've not watched it, it does what it says on the tin. It's a film about gladiators and lots of battles. There's also a sense of good and versus evil, a sense of tyranny, but also seeking justice and revenge. But it's interesting you watch that film. There's a theme that runs through it about the afterlife, that there is more than just this life here. In fact, at the very start of the film, our hero, General Maximus, he says to his cavalry officers, as they're about to go into battle, he says these words, I will try and do my best, Russell Crowe, okay? He says this, brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Well, this morning, actually, that fits in quite well, because you're thinking about eternity, about death, but also about Jesus coming again. Seems quite appropriate as well, with Parliament having voted on the assisted dying bill this week. We're not going to cover that particularly today. But if you do want to know more about Christian perspective, I do encourage you to watch the midweek memo that John did this week. And certainly one of the key things is to make sure we protect the most vulnerable. But it's interesting, isn't it, that we live maybe in a more secular world. Less and less people have faith. And yet, when it comes to death, they seek solace in maybe just that vague sense of that Christian hope. Often you hear people said, well, they've gone to a better place. Or they're looking down on me now. And it is not just wishful thinking. This week I read an article, an interview with the actor Stanley Tucci, who was in Devil's Wears Prada and also recently playing a cardinal in the film Conclave. And he said this: death comes up a lot in our household because my first wife passed away. And so the younger children would look at old photos of her and get confused. But you know, we are all going to die. None of us is going to go on forever. How else can we face up to that but with the truth? But is this the truth? Well, in fact, that was the very question that was in our passage this morning that the Thessalonian church had. Just some context. The church Thessalonica is a city in northern Greece, a port city. This letter is one of the oldest ones that we have in the New Testament. Paul had recently been to the city and set up the church there. He'd only been there 3 weeks. There had been some trouble and he'd had to flee. But in that time, a church has been set up. Paul's recently heard from the church, and it's very encouraging. They have grown in their love for Jesus and their love for each other, in their knowledge of him, and they're full of joy. And their love for each other has spread to the neighbouring areas. So Paul writes a very encouraging letter for them to keep going. But they've had this question, that ever since Paul left as a church, there's been some suffering and some members of their church have passed away. And they want to know, can we be sure what's happened to them? So this is what we read in verse 13, what Paul writes. And it'd be great, actually, if you can turn to our passage. It's on page 1198 in the Pew Bibles. So Paul writes this: brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest, who have no hope. What Paul, of course, is not saying here is that it's wrong to mourn or grieve when we lose a loved one. But what he is saying is that we do that with a certain hope, which he's going to set out. The Thessalonians then lived a time when they had only a very vague sense of afterlife. If you read some of the gravestones of people in those times, the Romans, they often are just subject of sort of woe, and it was all down to the fates. Their funerals were often full of a sense of hopeless wailing and mourning. But Paul says to the Thessalonians, no, we have hope. And then he sets out the hope in these verses. Firstly, he says in verse 14, look at it with me. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Paul is saying here that they are just asleep. This is not a permanent state. Those who died in Christ, knowing the Lord Jesus, that they are just asleep. But also he says something there. If you look at that verse, he says, though we believe that God will bring with Jesus them, that they are in God's care, that they are with God, that we can have this hope. Of course, we read in the rest of Scripture further on this theme. Remember, when Jesus on the cross and the criminal acknowledges him as the Son of God, and Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Paul himself, in his letter to Philippians, wrote, to die is Christ, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, because I depart to be with the Lord. We can know that we are just asleep, that we are in God's care and with God. No wonder in the book of the Romans, Paul could write, neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God. Asleep, but looking forward to time, will be raised up to be with Jesus when Jesus will come again. And that's what Paul writes in verses 16 and 17. So he says this: "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive on our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." He's saying, look, Jesus will come again. There'll be time. It'll be sudden. He will come. There'll be announcement, trumpet call, the herald, the angel will declare it. And then the dead will rise. The dead in Christ will rise. Go with those who are living and meet with Jesus. In fact, the image, this is a picture that Paul is setting here. And in fact, the word for come is the same word, called parousia, for when a king or an emperor would visit a town. Because what would happen is that if those days, if someone would come, there'd be a herald would declare, the trumpets would sound, and then the noble and good of that town would go out and meet the king and then escort him into the city. And that's the very image that Paul is setting here in our passage. That Jesus will come, it'll be declared, announced, with trumpet call and the heralds declare it. And then he says, that's the first thing we know, Jesus will come. And then the dead will rise and go with those who are living, the dead in Christ, goes to those living who know Jesus and meet with him and lead him into that new heaven and new earth. But of course, it's not just a visit, because he says this will be forever. We'll know Jesus with us forever. A reunion with Jesus. We can see him and know him fully. We only see glimpses now. We'll see him fully and be with him fully then. This is what Paul declares in our passage. Of course, it's a theme that runs throughout the New Testament. And in fact, we can see a bit more fleshed out. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read that we raised up in bodies that are spiritual, bodies that are imperishable, clothed in immortality, transformed to be like Jesus. Earlier on, even in this passage, we read, of course, that day will also be a day of judgment, when God's wrath will come, but that we who know Jesus, we rescued from that wrath, that we can be with Jesus because Jesus has died for us on the cross. And of course, that vision at the end of Revelation, there'll be a new heaven and new earth. No more death or pain or crying or mourning, for everything is made new. The world renewed to be as God intended. This is a wonderful hope. But I wonder, like you, maybe like the Thessalonians, you may wonder, but can we know? Can we be certain of this hope? Well, Paul actually says there are three reasons why we can be certain. Firstly, he said, actually, and it's all to do with Jesus. Firstly, that Jesus is fulfilling the prophets. That actually this message, this is not new. This was prophesied centuries ago that this would happen. And just as we've been thinking, actually, this morning about how the prophets foretold Jesus coming that first time, coming to Bethlehem as a baby, what we look forward to at Christmas. Remember, they prophesied that one would come who would suffer for us and die for us, that we could know God. That was fulfilled in Jesus. But the prophets also foretold another day, a day of the Lord, when there would be judgment, that God would make everything right, and that those who know the Lord would be renewed and strengthened and transformed, and that God would rule forever. In fact, these words that Paul uses in verses 16 and 17 hark back to the book of Daniel. Daniel would talk about the Son of Man coming on the clouds to bring in everlasting dominion, about it being declared by the angels and then the multitudes rising, some to everlasting life. So firstly, we can know Jesus, the prophets saw Jesus coming the first time. The prophets also saw that Jesus would come again and that everything would be made new, a new heaven, a new earth. So that's the first reason we can be certain. But the second reason, Paul says, It's because this is what Jesus said. So look at verse 50. He says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we are alive, who are left, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. What he's saying is, this is what Jesus has said. Now, actually, this letter was written before the Gospels were written. And yet, Paul knows what Jesus said. He knows his words, that this is what will happen. And then when we see the Gospels, and we see the rest of the New Testament, written by different individuals, all who'd seen Jesus, well, guess what? They all support what Paul says here. These are Jesus' words. Just look at, say, Matthew's Gospel, where he says that Jesus will come in the clouds and then raise up those who know him and love him and bring in everlasting dominion. So we can know both that this is Jesus is fulfilling the prophets, but also that these are Jesus' words themselves. So we can know this hope. But the third reason is because Jesus has already done it. So he says in verse 14, like a small creed it is, a statement of faith, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died on the cross so that we could know God. But Jesus also rose again. And if Jesus was able to rise again, well, then we can know that he can also raise us up. Even though we've died, we can be raised up to be with him forever. Again, Paul expands even more on this in the book of Corinthians. He says that that resurrection of Jesus, seen by over 500 brothers, that it was like a first fruits for what will happen in that last day when Jesus will come and raise us up to be with him forever. So Paul says to the Thessalonians, this is not some wishful thinking. This is certain hope. Look at the person of Jesus, and we can see, we can know that this is what will happen. No wonder Paul then writes in verse 18, at the end of our passage, therefore encourage each other with these words. The word encourage, of course, means to fill with courage, to have a strength of purpose. I wonder for the Thessalonians, they'd in that first flourish of growing as a church, the excitement, but also suffering came. Maybe there were questions. Were they sure? Well, Paul says you can be certain. Just keep going. Keep knowing God more and more. Earlier on in this chapter, he's given some instructions to the Thessalonians to seek to please God more and more, to be holy, to control your bodies, to be loving, to grow in love for each other and for those around you more and more. To work to, and also be examples of Jesus in the way that you work and the way you respond to others and react to others. And Paul is saying here, just keep going, because these actually are first fruits. They're a foretaste. We're building a kingdom. A little bit now, here in this world, but knowing that in eternity, that it will be fulfilled, that now but not yet. We can see glimpses now. But when Jesus comes again, then it will be truly fulfilled. A place of love and peace, of refreshment, of renewal. C.S. Lewis, the Christian writer, once said that the most effective Christians in the world are those whose minds are focused on the next. And actually, if you read the Bible, particularly the New Testament, continue this theme of this is what we look forward to. A time when Jesus will come again. We can see glimpses of his kingdom now, of his rule in our lives. But it'll be truly fulfilled then, when he comes again. This question that Thessalonians had, actually, my mother once had many years ago. And I want to read something that she wrote about her and my sister. Our daughter Katie died in 1982. She was just 8, and she had leukemia 3 years. She's been surrounded by prayers over the country, but on the day that she died, I pray that if God was going to take her, that somehow there'd be some sign that we know. I'd always believed in God and heaven, but I knew I'd question. And on the day she died, she'd had an injection, but then she suddenly sat up in bed and said, "I'm dying." And said, "I'm dying to die. I'm dying to die." She said, "Is my heart still beating?" I replied, "Yes." And she said, "Well, stop it, Mummy." Then she went to sleep, and then she woke again, went to the toilet, and then ordered us to change the sheets on the bed, change what she's wearing. She's always a very girly girl who liked dressing up. I believe she's dressing up for a party. She then fell into a deep sleep, from which she passed away 2 hours later. Katie had not told us, we'd not told Katie that she was going to die, but she surprised us that in the last 2 weeks, she changed her prayers from "please make me healthy and strong and better again" to "please look after Mummy, Daddy, and Andrew, her brother," which is me. My mother then wrote, "I know that what she saw that day must be a wonderful place, and hope and pray that one day be with her again for eternity." I don't know, as I was preparing this passage, it just reminded me back of that story, of what happened to my mum and my sister, of the hope that she had. And, you know, that actually that hope is certain. That's what we're reminded of in this passage in Thessalonians. And that's what drives our life, you know, to that look forward, to see the long view, that actually we have a wonderful, that's what Paul said, a wonderful future with Jesus Christ, reunited together with Jesus. We're going to celebrate now communion. I think that's a great way of responding to what we've heard and this passage. Both that we remember that Jesus died for us, but that he will come again. But also a foretaste that we unite together now, but that we'll also one day be united with those that have passed away in Christ and with Jesus himself, and to know him, a foretaste. So I say, brothers and sisters, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.